Top of the day to you. I'm Audrey Adams, and you're listening to Talk with Audrey. Well, who doesn't want to make good money on things that have become useless around the house? Well, as a direct response advertising expert, Ava Seavey has successfully helped entrepreneurs and business owners make millions over the years, and she's now going to help the rest of us make some money for ourselves, and she joins me to talk about her new book, Ava's Guide to Garage Sale Gold. Welcome, Ava, to Talk with Audrey.
Hi, how are you? I'm pleased to be here.
I'm good. Garage sales, I love them, and evidently you do too. But before we talk about that aspect of it, talk for a few minutes about the similarities between your experience in the direct response advertising, i.e. infomercial arena, and the similarities to garage sales.
Yes, it's something that I didn't understand the correlation of for quite a number of years until I had one of those aha moments. But the way that customers perceive merchandise and the way that customers perceive products is very similar between the two things. So the kind of excitement and enthusiasm that you can drum up for things, the way you lay things out, sometimes the way that you can give people freebies, the way that you can sort of get the viewer or the consumer, because they're really both the same, to view your items. Two people can have a sale. One can lay the item out one way and they can sell it, and another one can lay it out in a different way and it won't sell. So it's all about the message. It's all about the marketing. You know, the way you do your signs is like how it appears on TV. So I noticed a big correlation between how you're presenting not only yourself, but your items, you know, the whole marketing that goes into it, and what the likelihood of a sale might be.
So you, I just found the book a little fascinating because who'd broken down a garage sale into all those components, but it's a process, really.
It's a process.
And there's a formula. So you call yourself a self-taught master of garage saleology.
Right.
I love that.
Right, yes.
I love it.
Yes, I studied it really like a science. I became fascinated when I started doing flea markets decades ago. And I would just be compelled to find out the whys, you know, why do people do this? And I would experiment around with, you know, different kinds of pricing, laying things out differently. I would talk to other dealers and other sellers, and I would say, you know, what are you selling? Why are people buying? And, you know, it turned into a science for me, where I would interview the people as they came to my sales. Did you come from the sign? Did you come from the ad? What did you come looking for? What made you come? You know, so, and I really kind of, like you said, I broke it down into a process and realized, boy, there's something to this.
Well, folks do think it's simple. They say, well, you know what? I've got all this stuff. I'm just going to go out into the garage, put it on table, stick some prices on it, and go for it. But you say that it certainly involves a great deal more effort than that. Let's talk about actually organizing a sale.
Yes, I don't like to use the word effort because I want to make it be fun. And I don't want to make it be like it's drudgery, it's work. Because you can kind of make it fun. You can make it a game. You can engage friends and family to help you. But the organizing of it, I find, is what puts most people off. And the organizing is simply, and in fact, I have created an organizer, which actually helps break it down for people into the lowest common denominator. And I suggest that you just go at your own pace and you go room by room and just gather things up and label them and put them together and find a spot in your home or your apartment to just kind of place your items and then watch your inventory build up. In my book, I talk about the different groups of people that come to a sale and to keep those in mind when you're organizing so that you say, you know, do I have all of one type of thing, or maybe I need some other types of things? And this is when you can bring other people into it. You know, if you have all girl things, maybe you need to bring some tools and some outdoor stuff and some man things. So those are other classic mistakes that I've seen people making. So the gathering up of things, and you just need to make sure you have a variety.
So you're stocking your store, really?
Right, exactly.
That's what you're stocking your store, and so this is not something that is really. You might have accumulated the merchandise for your store over a number of years, but you really have to put thought into what items your garage sale or your estate sale is going to offer up.
That's correct. That's correct. And variety is the spice of life, because the more diverse your items, the bigger of a crowd that you will have.
I called it a garage sale, mm-hmm. but there are some people who call it estate sales. What do you call it?
Well, I have a whole section in my book that I talk about the different names of sales that you can have, and I name a sale based on the merchandise that I have. So you can have a tag sale, a yard sale, a moving sale, a garage sale, an estate sale, a barn sale, a divorce sale, a breaking up sale. I devote a whole chapter where I talk about these are the different types of sales, and these are sort of the impressions in people's minds of the types of merchandise that might be there.
And again, that's all about marketing. You have to know
who
you want to attend your sale in order to call it, to name it, to give it a name.
Exactly. And I have been to many sales that were misnamed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they create an impression that they can't follow up on. And hence, you know, viewers or consumers get disappointed and tend to not buy. So you want to kind of psych people up before they even come to the sale so that they're excited to come. And then when they walk in, you want them to not be disappointed.
Pricing is another area that's, you know, some people, I've been to a few garage sales myself. And, you know, when it comes to pricing those items, sometimes it's like, that's worth what?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that's a classic mistake. And in fact, I have to say, I've been to many sales that were conducted by so-called professionals that were estate sale people that do this for others. And I have to say the pricing was way off. So, you know, my attitude is, do you want to run a museum mm-hmm. and have people going around looking and pointing and saying, oh, isn't that lovely, and not buying? Well, then price things too high. Or do you just want a charity? And then you'll price everything for 50 cents and you might as well just donate it and give it away. Mm-hmm. So, again, I have a whole chapter in my book about pricing, but basically, if you want to price things well, you want people to feel like they're getting a deal. And you cannot take a new item, even if it's in the box, and make it for any more than 50% of what they would pay at retail, even if it's brand new.
Oh, really?
Even 25 to 50%. And things that are not in pristine shape, I would suggest even 10 to 25%. And then I have a whole chapter in the book where I lay out, you know, different kinds of items, and these are the suggested pricing structures for right. everyday items.
Is it beneficial, then, to have someone plan your sale for you? You mentioned before that there were people
well,
in the business of
you know, it's
organizing them.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on the merchandise that you have. The professionals will generally do a lot of the legwork for you. But like I said, sometimes I've been to sales where the merchandise was not put together nicely. I saw things just thrown in heaps. I saw things not laid out properly. I saw things really mispriced. So mm-hmm. I think the people probably did not sell as much. But, you know, the folks will come and do the work. They will do the labeling. They will take the advertising. They will, you know, take care of signage. And they'll charge you usually from, I would say, 20 to 40% of the take.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all about empowering women primarily because of course, men have garage sales too, but I want to empower the woman to feel that she can do this on her own. I want to be like the cooks on TV that are showing you how to cook a meal, but they're not going to come to your house and cook a meal. I want to show them how to cook the meal. I want to show them how they can do it themselves so that they really don't need to hire anyone else and they can maximize the profits that they will make themselves. by just learning these tips. And it's very easy to follow. They're tried and true. I talk about all of it. And I just really want to help empower women to make the most money that they can on their sale and not need to go outside and hire one of these folks that they may or may not have a good experience with.
I also notice whenever I go to a garage sale, there are people who seem to be pros at attending garage sales, estate sales, and what have you. How can you spot someone who's a pro and still maximize your profit? Like if they're trying to, you know, if they want to talk you down.
Right. That's a really important thing, I think, especially for gals who don't have outgoing personalities. They feel, oh, I get intimidated. How do I deal with hagglers? How do I deal with this? And you know what the most powerful two words in a garage sale are? No. It's very powerful.
Okay.
And free. Those are the two most powerful words. So if somebody starts trying to bargain with you, you're the boss of your sale. It's your stuff. You are totally entitled to say, thank you, but no. I was really looking for more than that. Mm. And for example, if you have something priced for $10 and you know you paid $50 for it new and you know $10 is a good value, and some, you know, person comes along and says, oh, I'll give you a dollar. Instead of being insulted and instead of taking it personally, you should say, well, thank you so much, but no.
Mm-hmm.
Well, will you take three? No. And, you know, and honestly, those people that when you think of the hagglers are really the minority of the people that show up at garage sales, believe it or not.
Okay.
There's many people will just pay what you have marked, and because they're too shy to negotiate, or they think, gee, this is a pretty good deal. And some people don't really feel comfortable doing that. They feel that they're insulting the person. So I think that if you recognize your own sense of what you really want for something, and you stick sort of closely to that. I mean, you can, you know, can you sell a $10 item for $8? Of course, but not a dollar. I mean, that you have to draw the line somewhere.
Exactly. So know your merchandise and
know
what you stand for and hold your ground.
Absolutely hold your ground. And guess what? 9 times out of 10, the person's going to buy the item anyway.
Right. They'll also kind of circle around and come back.
They will.
Right, yeah.
And what's best is when they come and they haggle with you and you say no, and they come back 15 minutes later and the item's gone because someone else bought it.
Exactly. Moments. Life's precious moments.
Absolutely. So, I've even had people fighting over items.
Really?
Sales. Yes.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a good sale.
Yes. Well, that's what I hope. That's what I want women to create with their sales, the kind of sales that people are going to be lining up, fighting over it, and, you know, beating everyone, you know, to the punch to see who can get there first, because that's the kind of excitement that you can build, especially in this bad economy.
Are there any instances where you should be cautious? I mean, you know, a garage sale, that's something that's being held at your home, and, you know, as a woman and... Well, it's your home.
Yes.
So any precautions that you
yes,
should take?
Yes, absolutely. There's several things. One, I would never let someone use your bathroom, ever. Even if they're an older person and they, you know, I would just make sure you know where the nearest gas station or the nearest place that they can, you know, go to the bathroom. I would, if your sale is outside, I would never let someone in. If your sale is inside, I would cordon off the sections that you do not want people to go into. I would either tape it off, close doors. I would put barricades up so that people can't get into those particular areas.
Mm-hmm.
I would always have more than one person doing a sale. I would never attempt to do it alone, simply because you need all eyes watching. And the other thing is, I would always have your money on you. I would not put it in my pants pocket so it can fall out. I usually advocate using a money apron or some sort of a, you know, a fanny pack some people use. I would not use a money box because it's too easy for someone to take that. That's a big temptation. And I would watch, you know, I hate to say it, but thieves will target garage sales. I don't like to talk about it, but it happens. Mm-hmm. So you need to be on your guard for that.
So I know you have a lot more information in the book. The name of the book is Ava's Guide to Garage Sale Gold. Do you have a website?
I do. In fact, the website is garagesalegold.com. And I've also created, for folks to help maximize their sales, an organizer that goes along with the book. I also created signs because I used to run all over looking for signs, and I never found signs that I thought were right. So I created signs that people can use, as well as labels and all kinds of things. So I kind of wanted to make it easy so that you didn't have to run from this place looking for this and this and this. And all those items are available on my website at garagesalegold.com. And I'm already getting reports of folks having great results, and I'm getting emails from folks all over the country saying, wow, I can't believe I used these tips. And, you know, so that's what I'm really trying to do is make people happy, encourage them to be able to succeed to do this. And I'm just giving them the tools to be able to do that. And I love to hear their success stories.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure to speak with you, Ava. And the book, again, guys, is Ava's Guide to Garage Sale Gold. Check out the website. And, you know, I have to say, it's laid out very clearly.
Thank you.
And you should have a good time.
Yes.
Good time and make some good money. And
absolutely.
She even has some post-sale opportunities and ideas that you might not have thought about and that you might consider.
Mm-hmm.
Ava Seavey, thank you so much for joining me on Talk with Audrey.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And go happy garage sailing.
Thank you. Looking forward to it. Maybe having one of my own.